contact you as a 10-minute speaker. Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Marie from San Diego.
Good evening. My name is Marie, and I'm an alcoholic.
I'm Marie.
And I'm going to try to get this done in 10 minutes, so there's somebody with little cards, right? Anyhow, good. So I have a sobriety date. It's January 21st, 1980. I have a sponsor. His name is Ray Paul. I have a home group. It's the Battery Chargers group. We meet on Sunday mornings at the Croc Center, and everyone here is welcome to come join us. So in 10 minutes, let me see what I can condense. So I was born like into a normal family. You know, my parents aren't alcoholic. I have four siblings. None of them are alcoholic, but I can guarantee you that I was born across the invisible line of alcoholism. I was alcoholic from day one, and even though I never picked up a drink till I was about 20, I had alcoholic behavior by the time I was six. I'd become a liar, a cheat, and a thief at 6 years old, and by 16, I thought that my parents were the stupidest people that ever walked the earth, and they didn't know anything, and I was really looking to get away from all of that authority and control. And just to prove that I had a really alcoholic brain before I had alcohol, my solution to getting away from authority was to enlist in the United States Navy. Now, you don't have to have been in the Navy or any branch of the military to understand that if authority is your problem, the military is probably not the best place to go. You know, and the military is where I learned to drink. And I don't blame my drinking on the Navy, because I would have crossed paths with alcohol somewhere along the line. And from day one, once I picked up a drink, I was always drink the same from that day to my last day, and that was that I drank all that I could, whenever I could, until I couldn't do it anymore. And I'm just going to do, because I want to get sober in the first 5 minutes. So I just want to tell you just at least one good drunkalog story, so you might get the idea that I really drank. So by 1970, I had become a telephone installer in Beverly Hills. I'd been offered that job, and I was 30 years old, and the guys all thought I was really pretty old, but I thought that it would be really important that I stay, you know, in good shape to go down to pole climbing school. But of course I didn't. I got drunk that whole weekend. You know, I had a real run. But I got up Monday morning, and I had a couple of beers and some mouthwash, and I went down to pole climbing school. It was very hot that day in L.A. It was like 108, so they gave us salt tablets. And I want you to know, we climbed up and down those poles all day, and every time I hit the ground, I had to hit the bathroom, and I want you to know I blamed it on the salt tablets. So that's the kind of thinking I had. I married a normie, thank God, or I'd probably be dead. And I had two small children, and I was getting really tired. I was a bar drinker, and I did not like being a stay-at-home drinker. And so in 1979, that Christmas, my kids were one and two. And what I would do is I would run to the mall in the daytime and buy gifts. And then I would come home. I would fix dinner for my husband. He would walk in the door. I'd say, dinner's on the table. I got to go Christmas shopping. And I would take my car, and I would go to the bar. And since Toys R Us stayed open until midnight, I could drink until midnight. And then I had to come home. You know. But in January of 1980, he came to me, and he said, you know, if you want to drink yourself to death, that's your business. But the girls and I don't want to watch. Well, I want you to know that as bizarre as it seems to me today when I look back, I had no idea that I was an alcoholic. I really even had no idea that there was anything wrong with the way I drank, because I ran with people who drank like I did. And I really believed that the problem was that this man I married did not know how to drink. And if he would just learn how to drink like a normal person. And when I say he didn't know how to drink, if he had three beers all year, that would have been, and I couldn't even deal. I'd had to have, you know, three beers and a half a gallon of Gallo. Just for an evening. So, you know, I really thought that was the problem. But, you know, I went on a weekend bender in that January, and I decided that if I was going to get the house and I was going to get the kids, that I should at least stop drinking for a short period of time. So I checked myself into what it was, a care unit back then, for a 21-day program. And I still didn't really think I was an alcoholic, but I could classify myself maybe as a hard drinker. But I had control issues when I got here, so by the time I was about 14 days in that hospital, I still had not admitted to my innermost self that I was alcoholic. However, I was very busy trying to explain to the staff how to run their program. And at day 19 of the 21-day program, I got called in the office, and that's really what I felt like. It's like when you're in high school and they drag you down to the office. I got called in the office, and they sat me down, and they said, you know, Marie, some are sicker than others. and we suggest you stay an extra week. I was devastated. I was truly devastated. But I bargained with him. I made a barter. I said, well, you know what? If I stay an extra week, I'm going to be here over Valentine's Day, and poor me. And so if you have a big party on the unit and we get music and we get, you know, refreshments, I'll stay the extra week. And to this day, I have no idea why they said yes. But they did. And I always like to share this because I learned something really important that Valentine's Day of 1980 in that hospital, in that room with a record player. For those, many of you are old enough to remember that, the record player and some really awful punch. And what I learned that night was I could dance without having alcohol in my system. And I don't know how you were before you got here, but I believed I couldn't do anything without alcohol in my system. You know, I mean, I worked with alcohol in my system. I played with alcohol in my system. I just, if it was doable, I did it with alcohol. You know, but mostly I spent a lot of time on bar stools talking about things that I was going to do, you know, which is, you know, what happens to us. But the other thing when I was in there, they had you write a thing about what was your really big, what did you think you couldn't do in life without drinking again? And my thought was that, oh, my God, how are my kids going to get married if I can't drink? And the really funny part about that, if you didn't catch on, was my kids were 1 and 2 at the time. So you would talk about some projection. But, you know, so I came to AA, and I, like I said, I'm a control freak. So I got really into service right away, and I started running things in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was really lucky because people let me run things. And, you know, the first thing I got to, at 3 months, I got elected co-secretary of a small participation meeting in Woodland Hills. That week, this lady who was elected secretary called me, and she said, I'm never going back to that meeting again. It's all yours. And I took that really literally, and I became dictator of a small meeting in San Fernando Valley. And not only was I the secretary, I also took over the treasury and the cake. I took over all the commitments. But, you know, that's not what made me the dictator of the meeting. What made me the dictator of the meeting was that I didn't hold elections. You know, and finally at about 14 months, and I'm still not convinced I'm an alcoholic, but I'm out there really busy taking care of you and showing you how to run your lives. At about 14 months, the gentleman I call sponsor to this day said to me, you know, Marie, leadership in Alcoholics Anonymous is rotational, and I suggest we have elections. And they have, and I want you to know I stayed at that meeting for 29 years till I moved here to San Diego. And I made sure every 6 months they had elections because I still have control issues. Now, I'd like to tell you that my control issues have gotten a little bit better, but you all don't see that because you didn't know what it was I used to really be like. You know, but at that 14-month period is about when it finally dawned on me that I was really alcoholic. And the lucky thing for me was that I hadn't put a drink in my mouth for those 14 months until I got from being a problem drinker to being an alcoholic. You know, and since then, I've had to do all the things that everybody else has to do if you want to stay here in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I had to work those steps. You know, I had to take that inventory. God, did I drag my feet. I do not recommend you drag your feet, but, you know, I know it's an easy thing to do because I found what the book says is true. Once you do that fourth and fifth step, you're free. You know, you are free. So I did a lot of service work. That's kind of that. And the fact that those counselors, when I got ready to leave at day 28, didn't think I could stay sober 24 hours on the street. And I have this slight, I'll show you, so you know what, if you can do it, I can do it, you know. And I stayed sober on that resentment for a while. Today I try to stay as far away from resentments as I can because what I've learned for me is that it does me no good, you know. If I think you've done something and I don't like it, the only person, and I get a resentment, the only person who's suffering is me. You know, you're out there fat, dumb, and happy, and I'm rolling over in the night and can't get any sleep. You know, my sponsor tried to drill some really heavy things into me. He said to me, Marie, you're responsible for your own actions. Marie, you're responsible for your own reactions. You know, Marie, trust God, clean house. Marie, what other people think of you is none of your business. And, you know, I've slowly come to believe most of those. You know, I'm really responsible today for my actions and my reactions. People don't do things to me. You know, I don't ever have to be a victim because I'm always willing to see my side of the street, to clean my side of the street. And I don't worry about your side of the street anymore because it does me no good. You know, when I came here to San Diego, I got about 30 seconds. I had to make sure I jumped right into Alcoholics Anonymous because I've heard too many stories of people with long-term sobriety who quit going to meetings. And 7 months ago, I retired, and now I go to two or three times more meetings a week at 40 years than I did at 4 months. And thank you for asking me to speak this evening.